Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Go online to Sunbury Motors website. You'll see some great product lines. Remember, the interest rates are low right now. So just a couple of things to keep in mind. And also, the service department. All right, closed for the day today, but reopening at 7 a.m. tomorrow. In fact, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., their outstanding service department is open. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Then more of Kirk Shiraka. Well, we go back to the Super Bowl. Malcolm Butler.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal. Malcolm Butler, who almost made the phenomenal play that wound up in Percy's arms. There are flags on the field for a celebration. Amazing.
Amazing indeed. Was also amazing is that when the Patriots played in the Super Bowl, was it against the Eagles? Butler didn't play.
That is right. Still, he was held.
Still to this day, mystery as to why not. He's never said, and Bill Belichick has never said. All right. Kirk Shiraka is Penn State's new offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. By the way, Jimmy Sotos in the final half hour from Bucknell to the Big Ten. We'll talk to him about that. But first, more of Kirk Shiraka.
Next up, Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror.
Morning, Kirk. Hope you're doing well. I noticed Tanner did not run a lot for you at Minnesota. The quarterbacks running have been a staple at Penn State the past few years with Trace and Sean. But at the same time, Trace and Sean kind of got banged up as the year went on, and their productivity kind of dropped as the season went on. So how do you balance – what is your balance in terms of running the quarterback but keeping him safe so that he can make it through a season?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, and I think that's something that you have to analyze as you're going through the season. We'd be crazy not to run our quarterbacks. That's one of the things that they do really well. And one of their strengths is their athleticism. So we're going to continue to do that. I just think that you have to be prudent with it. How many times are you asking him to run between the tackles, that type of stuff, in a game? But it'll be from game to game, depending on who we're playing and what we need to do to give us the best chance to win the game. You know, it's really that simple, but I do think that I do understand that every time I ask him to run the ball, I've increased his opportunity or risk of an injury. That's for sure. But hey, I mean, it is part of the game. And the one thing about these quarterbacks here, besides the fact that they're athletic, really been impressed with their work in the weight room and the way their bodies are built and how they look physically. And, you know, that's a tribute to our strength staff and what they've done with these guys. They look different than Tanner did. They're built a little bit differently to be able to take a little bit more of a pounding maybe than he could have. Plus their skill sets are different.
Peter Terpstra, WTAJ.
Hey, Coach. On a personal note, how was the move to Happy Valley? And if you have any stories you'd like to share from quarantine on how you're keeping busy?
Yeah. The move has been incredible. The moving company we had, the ability for them to come through for us and get everybody moved, I was really kind of stressed about it, being able to get the family together and everybody in one place. But the moving company that we used was unbelievable. They were able to get everything done for us. The fact that we were able to close on our house, it was incredible. We signed the paperwork on somebody's back porch while they were in the house. So it's been unbelievable, and it's just great people to be able to help get that done for us. As far as spending my time with the quarantine, my wife said to me the other day, like, she's like, geez, you seem to be working more now than ever at this time of year. So I've been really busy with the football stuff of things. And, you know, when you're doing this remotely, there's just more that goes into it as far as that goes, with preparation and trying to get extra video out to the players, meeting with the staff. Everything takes longer to do right now when you're doing it remotely. Even just a simple phone call, right? You've got to call a simple phone call to ask somebody a question. I'm sure you guys are all experiencing this too, right? Which, if you were in the office together, you would have stuck your head in somebody's door and just asked them a quick question, and they would have given you an answer, and it would have taken 20 seconds. When you make a phone call, it's amazing. There's probably 5 minutes of BS talk that goes on before you even get to the question. And then two more questions come up about stuff that aren't even relevant to what your original question was, but you have the conversation anyhow. So it's, everything just takes a little bit longer. So I think we're all very busy.
Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer.
Good morning, Kirk. Nice to finally meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I want to go back to your Philadelphia days, if I may. You started as a GA at Temple, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And they also coached at Penn. I just wondered what you learned from both experiences, especially working for Coach Bagnoli at Penn.
Yeah, I think I was really lucky to just to get a GA job, but to get one at Temple and to work under a guy by the name of Jerry Berndt. You know, he taught me a lot about how to handle yourself in a first-class manner, how to handle people in a first-class manner. And he had a very young offensive staff, so they were really good to me as a GA, really involved me in the process. You know, a lot of football, took time out of their day to teach me things and educate me. So that was an incredible experience for me. And then Coach Bagnoli was real special to me, is a real special mentor to me. He was an incredible CEO of an organization, and the way he handled his people and handled his staff and his players. And the guy's been incredibly successful, Coach Bagnoli. You look at his one loss record, it was incredible. And I still talk to him at least twice a year. Something might come up that I have a question about something, and I'll call him, because he was just fantastic at handling his people. Knew how to push all the right buttons on his staff and his players, and he was demanding but yet never demeaning, and was very matter of fact about things. These are the facts, Kirk. You know, how are we going to handle that? Or we might be having a discussion about something, and he would, you know, say, hey, you're getting off track. This is what we're talking about. This is the situation. These are the possible choices. What's the best choice? And that's what's made him so successful, I believe, in his coaching career.
Nubias Wilborn, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Hey, Coach. First of all, good to meet you, and thanks for doing this. Question is, can you give me an idea of what a day looks like for you, from like what time you get up, get started, until what time you're kind of done, and what that process looks like now?
Yeah, I think, you know, our sports science people here at Penn State, Nelly, you know, made a great suggestion at the very beginning, and he was really talking about to our players, and he talked about staying on your routine, right? So it probably took me about a week to get it, establish a routine. But right away, I just said, hey, I'm going to start work every day at 7 o'clock. That's how I do go. So I was starting work at 7 anyhow. But I think what we've been able to do over the course of time is now I have a schedule, an itinerary Monday from I'll pull it out right here real quick. You know, I've got it right here in front of me. Monday from 7 to 10, you know, I would do football. At 10 o'clock, we have a staff meeting. You know, from 11 to 3, I'm doing football and recruiting. That's when I try to slot my recruiting calls in there. And then at 3 o'clock, I have a quarterback meeting. And then in the evening, I set a goal for myself to do 3 evaluations, recruiting evals, every evening. So like that's a Monday, and Tuesday is, you know, just a little bit different itinerary, but it's set up all the way from 7 a.m. until 5. And then I have something in the PM that I'll work on a little bit.
Greg Pickle, Penn Live.
Good morning. You'd mentioned recruiting. How difficult has that been, not only not being able to get out here in the next week, I guess, to maybe see quarterbacks throw, but also just doing all this remotely, especially as some kids have online learning in their state, some don't, and I'm sure the schedules can be pretty hard to match up with yours and everything else.
I mean, it's just a little bit more challenging, Greg, you know, but it, again, we can't control all these other things. The only thing we can control right now is we've got to make sure we're washing our hands frequently and practicing social distancing, right? But as far as the recruiting goes, yeah, I mean, we can't. Everybody is dealing with the same thing, though. I don't see it being an advantage or a disadvantage for anybody. You know, it would be great if I could get out and watch the quarterbacks throw. It's great when the kids can come on campus and you can spend time interacting with them in person and getting a feel for them and whether or not they're the right people for your program and whether or not they can get a feel for whether or not you're the right people for them. So that is a challenge. But what we can do is get on the phone and FaceTime with these recruits and continue to recruit them and educate them about what their life will be like if they decide to choose Penn State. You know, what are not only the next 4 to 5 years going to be like, but paint an accurate picture for what the next 40 years of their life will be like if they choose Penn State and what we're all about.
John Sauber, Center Daily Times.
Hey, Kirk, thanks for doing this. You know, since you've only had a chance to see Sean throw really because of the game film that you have from this year, where do you think he has to improve most from his first year as a starter to a second year as a starter?
Well, I think one is, you know, I think with every quarterback, experience in any facet, experience is a great teacher, but only if you're willing to learn from your past, right? So he has to be able to apply the experiences, take the mistakes that he might have made last year that all quarterbacks make, right? And the key to becoming an elite level quarterback is being able to learn from your mistakes, right? And apply that knowledge to the next time you're in that same situation. And that's one of the common denominators of all elite quarterbacks. They're able to learn from their experiences and then be able to apply them the next time they're in that type of situation, right? And you know, that's the difference between being good and great, in my opinion. A guy with a great skill set, you know, he has some great games, but he probably never really develops that consistency that you're looking for, you know. So like, that's the number one thing that he's got to be able to do is apply those experiences, and from that, you know, he's can't help but improve if you can do that. But that's easier said than done with it. So, but the one thing Sean has is he wants to be great, right? And he's very eager to learn new things, new approaches, new ways to maybe see a situation. So he's very open to learning. And so I'm just excited to see him apply what he's learned and his experiences, and let's go from there. There's, you know, there's always with a quarterback, you can almost look at any play and there's some little detail out there that he could have improved with, on it. So, like, the quarterbacks are always learning. You know, you listen to the all-time greats, you know, Peyton Manning. He was always looking to get better, right? How can I improve my footwork? How can I improve my fundamentals? You know, and I'm always preaching to the quarterbacks, you know, you never know it well enough. You're never doing it well enough. So just understand that, and let's just keep grinding, right? And keep making sure that we're getting better every day. And really, that's the key, right, is the ability to grind every day, right? Because you have this vision for yourself, this goal, this vision that you want to be, right? But you got to look at if you're going to get to that point, you have to be willing to do the work, right? And or you're never going to get there. It's just a dream, right? If you're not willing to do the work, it's just a dream. It's not really a vision for yourself. And that's one of the things that's impressed me about Sean and really the other quarterbacks too, and everybody in the program, is their willingness to do the work to get to where they want to get to. And that's how you build a championship culture. And that's what Coach Franklin's culture is all about, is the willingness to do the work to get to where you want to get to. And again, that's what you're looking for when you come into a new situation. And that was one of the first things that I noticed, was how willing these players were to do the work to get to where they wanted to get to, because champions are champions way before they win a championship, right? It's all about having that championship work ethic is what gets you through, and never being satisfied and always understanding that I can do it a little bit better and never getting bored with the process.
Time for a couple more. Jerry DePaula, Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
Thank you for your time today, Kirk. My question is kind of a big picture type question. With all the schools canceling spring ball this year, and who knows when these guys are going to be able to get out and work with each other in the summer like they normally do, how do you think that will affect the overall look of college football, either in training camp and then when the games start in September, if they do?
Well, I that's a hard question to answer, since, you know, I've never experienced anything like this, right? We've never been through a situation like this. And obviously there's a lot bigger things going on than football right now in the world. So I'm not really sure. I feel like that it should be, I feel myself that I'm looking for the exact same product I've always looked for once we get out there on the field. And by the time we get a chance to play games, you know, and that's the way I'm approaching it. And I'm not planning on lowering my standards, and I don't think anybody in the country is. You know, again, this is the situation that we've been presented with, right? And now we've got to adapt and overcome the adversities that we have here. We all face adversities, and everybody's facing all kinds of different adversities all throughout their life right now. And you know, it's how do we choose to respond? And so I'm excited about it, and I expect to have the same type of product that we've always had out there in the field.
Last one, Elton Hayes, CNHI, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Coach, thank you for agreeing to do this with us this morning. You had mentioned the Zoom meetings to kind of test the players' intellect and cognitive abilities without, you know, having them on the field. I was wondering, you know, due to the circumstances, a lot of these guys are limited. What are you doing, or what is Coach Galt doing to, you know, make sure that they're staying in shape physically? And are you checking in and monitoring that progress as well?
Yeah, you know, the workouts that were presenting to the kids, it's voluntary. It's not mandatory. How are we checking on it? We're not, we're not, but the feedback has been great from the kids on it, that they're working hard and that they're doing it. I don't know how anybody in the country is monitoring it. I think, again, we're all in the same situation, but that's, again, where the culture of the program comes into play, and the understanding that we need everybody. We're all in this together. We're all spokes in the wheels. So everybody's trusting everybody that they're doing their job and doing what they need to do to make sure they're come out of this, and Penn State football comes out of this in the best possible position that we can be in when this all ends right now.
That is Penn State offensive coordinator and quarterback coach Kirk Ciarrocca. An extensive discussion with the media earlier this week. Jimmy Sotos in the final half hour will talk about going from Bucknell to the Power Five as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors Service Department open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you can go online to check out the great product lines at Sunbury Motors. And keep in mind, some great interest rates are available and going to be available. With that, we bring in Jimmy Sotos. Jimmy, welcome to the show, and congratulations on your Bucknell career. Best of luck down the road. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Jimmy, let's start with this. Nate Sestina left last year and ended up going to Kentucky, where obviously he found success. Did that play an influence in your thought process?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, congratulations to Nate with everything he went through. But no, this was definitely a decision made for me. I didn't take any outside factors, let it play a role in my decision. This was definitely made for me and what I thought was best for my future.
And what made this best for your future? What were the influences?
You know, I've always had goals of playing basketball at the highest level. And I'm an ambitious kid, and I had 1 year eligibility left, and I was hoping that if I entered into the portal, I would receive some interest, and fortunately I did, and that's where it's taken me.
Okay, it is a program where Luther Muhammad put his name into the transfer portal. We all knew midseason, I mean, because obviously I broadcast Big Ten basketball, so we all knew DJ Carton was going to obviously transfer as well with all the trouble he had been through there personally. Mm-hmm. Seeing what their backcourt situation was, did that play an influence in your thought process of going there?
I wanted to make sure I went somewhere where I thought there would be a place for me to fit in, a place where I could contribute. I didn't want to go anywhere I just wanted to make sure that there was a spot for me within the roster and that I would play a role on the team. The fact that they needed a guard and that they reached out to me definitely played a role into that.
When you put your name into the portal, how did you feel about the initial interest? Were you, okay, I expected this interest? Were you surprised by the interest? Because the portal does draw interest.
Yeah, definitely. I went back and forth for a while about whether I should enter my name in the portal or not. And then when I decided to, I heard from schools from all over. I heard from a lot of Division I schools, even some D2 schools even reached out, and then high majors, mid majors, low majors, from all over. And then it was I was hoping that I would hear from some high major schools, and fortunately I did. And I wouldn't say I was surprised, but just because I got 3 years under my belt, and I played a lot, and I played well against some high major teams, so yeah, I was kind of hoping that it kind of worked out the way it did.
No matter how this works out for you in the end, how do you feel about the 3 years that you had at Bucknell playing for Nate Davis, your teammates mm-hmm. playing at Soika?
Oh, I'm super, super thankful for the way that turned out. I give everything to Bucknell and the coaching staff, Coach Davis, Coach Meehan, all of them. They've put me in positions where I couldn't thank them enough, honestly. My teammates they made it super difficult, this decision. Those are my best friends. Those are my closest friends in the world. So this decision was definitely difficult, and I honestly wouldn't be where I am if it weren't for the opportunity that Bucknell gave to me.
Okay, 3 years can make a difference for anybody, and we've seen this in many players. And I've used this example 5,000 times, so let's just use it 5,001 here for everybody. Right. And that's the Andrew Rousey comparison. Andrew Rousey is not highly recruited. He goes to UNC Wilmington. In 2 years, Rousey was just a great shooter, scores 1,000 points. Well, then he puts his name into the portal. He goes to Marquette, and he scores 1,000 points there in 2 years. What was your interest coming out of school, and then how dramatically was the list now at this point 3 years under your belt?
You talking about the schools that reached out to me, that list?
Yes, yeah. 3 years ago when you were being recruited compared to where you were now being recruited.
Yeah. 3 years ago when I was getting recruited, it was very rapid. I didn't have many offers going into my summer, my last season of AAU, and then it was a lot of mid-major schools that reached out to me, and it was more than I ever expected. And then when I entered my name in the portal this time, I was blown away by the amount of schools that were reaching out to me and that I was hearing from. It was a little bit overwhelming, but I expected some of it. And I mean, again, like when people reach out to you like that, you gotta just take it for what it is, and you gotta appreciate the process.
Obviously, the one game I did with you this year was the game in the Jordan Center, in announcing that game, and Dick Girardi and I were both really impressed with your game. Where did you make the biggest improvement in your game to get yourself to this point?
Yeah, I think it's easy to say I've probably become a better shooter since high school and a better ball handler, but I think the biggest jump I've made is just my mindset and my mentality. You know, I've been through a lot in my 3 years at Bucknell, a lot of highs and a lot of lows. I've been through some adversity, and I think the way I approach the game now, the way I kind of treat it, the way I just kind of take each day is definitely much more mature than I did when I was about 3 years ago. I've definitely learned how to handle pressure better. I've learned how to manage games, manage situations, lead guys. So I would definitely just say my mindset and the way I approach it has been the biggest jump I've had to make.
What was it like going through a process where you physically could not visit and actually could not have a sit-down face-to-face with people? What was that process like where you're being re-recruited, but you can't do it the traditional way because of the circumstances right now?
Right. Well, for one, it was a lot of Google searches. so I couldn't, like you said, I couldn't visit anywhere. And also, I'm a person that puts a lot of value and weight on the relationships I build with people. And I wasn't able to get to visit anywhere to meet the guys, meet the coaching staff in person or anything. So that definitely made it a little difficult. But at this point in my career, I kind of know what's important to me, and I know what my priorities are. I wanted to go somewhere where I was going to get a good education still, and where basketball was kind of, you know, the essential deciding factor. And I was able to – I think I made a great decision, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it pays off.
I'll assume that you have your degree, Jimmy?
I do not.
Okay. When are you planning on getting that degree?
Next May.
Next May. What is that degree going to be in, and why did you pick that major?
When I went to Bucknell, I'm majoring in economics, and it kind of just fell into it. I think the economics.
Oh, good. Let's talk. You and I need to talk then.
I kind of just fell into it. I went into Bucknell not knowing what I wanted to major, not really sure where I wanted to go. I was always a basketball player, you know. And then I took an economics course, and I really liked it. I got a good grade. Took another course, and I did well in that one too. And I started to look into it a little bit more, and I decided to pursue that route. So hopefully that'll do me well in the future.
What has it taken for you to balance that academic part with the part you love, and that's the basketball part?
It's taken a lot of patience initially, you know, getting in. I like to have a schedule, and you want to get in that routine. And it's hard to when you got workouts, you got weightlifting, practice, and you got a lot of homework. And the seniors, when I was a freshman at Bucknell, Zach, Steve, and Nana, they were great about kind of showing me the ropes, taking me under their wing, and kind of just teaching me what I got to do to manage everything and also take care of my end on the basketball court. So they've played a huge role in helping me get acclimated just to this lifestyle.
So you'll have to sit out this year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. How important will that be to get into what we just previously talked about, getting to know the guys?
Yeah.
Getting a better feel for Chris, getting a better feel just on the floor.
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge for me as a individually, like in terms of my development, and also in terms of the team's development. I think getting an entire year to just develop and get acclimated to the system, getting around the guys, kind of establishing myself as like a veteran kind of leader on the team, I think it's huge. And also, going from Bucknell to Ohio State, the travel is going to be much different, the demands of everything. And I think having a year to just kind of learn how that process is going to go and seeing how most of the guys handle it, I think that'll be huge for me, and I'm really looking forward to it.
What kind of role, if any, did your family play in some of these decisions?
My family is everything to me. They played a huge role in this. I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for them and the support system I have. We do a lot of research. We try to make sure every decision I make isn't just a simple decision. We put a lot of thought into this, and they've played a huge role in this.
This is a point where, obviously, when you play in the Patriot, you're playing Navy and BU and Colgate and so forth.
Yeah.
Of course, now you're going to be getting into something that a couple of years from now you're going to be playing Indiana, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, and so forth. What has Bucknell's schedule meant non-conference, where Nathan really scheduled a lot of big-time teams for you to play against? North Carolina, Syracuse, Penn State, so forth. What did that do for your confidence when you got into that game to perform the way you did?
Yeah, that was honestly one of the big reasons why I was so confident in myself that I could make this jump. You know, when I got to Bucknell, we played a lot of, like you said, a lot of high-major teams right off the bat, and I was playing a lot as a freshman and sophomore. And I was playing well in those games, too, and I learned quickly that I could do more than just, you know, hang in these crowds. I saw that I could impact the game on a high level, and I'm really looking forward to the opportunity of doing that. So definitely our non-conference schedule and the fact that we played a lot of high-major teams, we played on some big stages in the NCAA tournament, that definitely prepped me for this, I think.
What is it about the game that to this day you love?
About basketball?
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I love the grind, honestly. The process where I'm going through right now, where in every day there's a goal to be accomplished, whether it's out of season or in season. You know, we're trying to win the next game. We're out of season. I'm trying to get better for the next day. I love the grind, and that's what honestly motivates me every day. I just love waking up and getting to do what I love.
Games are made, in my opinion, of doing this for 38, almost 39 seasons now. To me, games are made in the off season. All that stuff that you can get a chance to really work on, then you can apply. Yeah. A, what do you want to work on this off season? But B, what can you and can't you do right now based on the restrictions we have?
So my biggest focus this off season is definitely working on my body. Getting that right, make sure I getting in elite shape, and also sharpening up my skills, my handle, my shot, my decision making, all that. And then with this quarantine and this virus that's going on, it's definitely made workouts a little unorthodox. I'm fortunate to have access to a place where I can still work out and get done what I need to get done. So it's definitely made it difficult, but I mean most people who have goals and ambitions like I do they'll find a way to make sure they get their work in.
Hey, I know you will. In fact, we were talking to Stephen Gonzalez yesterday, who's up for the NFL draft in a couple of weeks, and he was saying the same thing. Which then brings me to the last part, and that's the nutrition part. Boy, it's one thing when you go home. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, food's pretty good. So,
I'm sorry.
What have you done on the nutrition end of it? Just to make sure. What was that?
I didn't hear the first part. I'm sorry.
Okay. So one thing that when any athlete goes home, they'll tell you, food's pretty good. Food's pretty good. But the nutrition part is a critical part, which obviously Bucknell, they've imparted to you. So how disciplined have you had to stay on that end of it?
My brothers, I credit them with that. One of my brothers is pretty much in charge of my nutrition right now. So, I mean, it's not too difficult. We eat pretty well over here, and we try to make sure it's healthy stuff that I'm feeling my body with is right. Sometimes we have our cheat days for sure. Don't get it wrong, but yeah, we try to make sure I'm eating the right stuff.
Well, congratulations on what you've accomplished so far, because you have accomplished a lot in your collegiate career. Best of luck best of luck with the next step of this. I'm sure you're going to do terrific, and I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you. Really means a lot.
Jimmy Sotos, moving from Bucknell. As you know, he put his name into the transfer portal. He's going to go to Columbus. We will come back with more in a moment. Wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. We close out for today, we'll have more tomorrow, including Tim Banks on the show. We got a lot going on. Charlie Casserly's on the show on Friday. So, I mean, and Charlie's going to be on at 4:35. So we're going to move some stuff around on Friday that we have. As you can tell, we've been pretty active with all this. At some point, I do want to do something where the Athletic, and we may have to do this next week, but the Athletic put out, you know, in surveying its staff, the top 100 sports movies of all time. Now, this is obviously subjective, but I figured we'd have some fun. And yeah, this is something, you, as you know, I never do. But I've been trying to find a moment to do it. And maybe at some point next week we'll find a moment to do it, because it's going to take a little time to do it. And maybe you, the audience, can get in there and we can hear from you as to what you think about it. It doesn't really matter that we're doing this right now. I would have done it anyway. I mean, if everything were, quote, normal and we're just going along getting ready for the blue-white game, probably sometime after the blue-white game, I probably would have done a couple segments on this because I found it to be fun and intriguing. But, you know, maybe next week at some point, because we've had so many guests, and we keep, every time we turn around, keep asking somebody to do the show, they keep saying, yeah, I'll do it. So we'll get around to doing that. By the way, when it comes to, it looks like in June is when they're going to vote on whether players get instant eligibility by transferring, the one-time transfer. But my understanding is, in reading John Rothstein, that John Rothstein from CBS Sports has a source that says that if they were to approve it in June, it would not start until the 21-22 season. Thus, people have to sit out a year. Okay? Just figure we'd make sure that everyone knows that ahead of time. It looks like June is when they are going to make a decision, pro or con, on that. And if they do decide yes, it would not go into effect for a year. So it would affect next year's transfers, not this year's transfers. Okay? And we'll make sure everybody knew that moving forward. And I hope you enjoyed listening to Kirk Shiraka today, because you're going to... I think it gives you an idea of what they're going through, how they're trying to do it. And I think it's important. I mean, here's the issue. That's something when I get a chance to talk with James Franklin, which I know I will next week, something I'm going to ask him about. And this is Everybody learns differently. And for example, I mean, I don't know, you know, it's up to you and Lisa. I don't know how many children you want to have. I don't know if Luke's it or whatever. But it doesn't, even within a family of, you know, I have five children. They all learn differently. Look, there are some individuals out there that you put a piece of paper down, they show it, you show it to them, boom, they got it. You've got other people that, okay, put the piece of paper down, and then you marry it to a video. Oh, okay, now they got it. But there are some people that, okay, you put the piece of paper down, you show them the video, but then when you actually go out and physically show them, they got it. So everybody learns in different ways, and obviously James Franklin understands this more than anybody else. Right? And so I'm going to ask him about the challenge of, you know, really knowing your players and really knowing how they respond. And the ones that are the physical, I've got to show you it learner is the one they can't get to right now. Can't do it. A lot of challenges. But fortunately, we have Matt Cotrillo. He meets all the challenges, except for the fact that his kid is right now wearing Steeler garb.